Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.'" Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
I clearly remember the moment I first experienced the naked terror of being cut off in the universe. I was 9 years old, and my father had piled me and my little brother and my little sister into a car on a very stormy autumn evening in Milwaukee and taken us to park at Lake Michigan. I remember everything about that evening very distinctly. The waves were 3 or 4 feet high, which maybe doesn't seem a lot here, but it was a lot for Lake Michigan. And the lightning over the lake was pretty brilliant that evening. But I had that feeling of dread. Something was about to happen that was going to change the trajectory of my life, and it wasn't going to be good. In the kindest way possible, and unable to actually look into our eyes, my dad turned to us that night and said, "I'm going to be divorcing your mother." Now, if you've seen those films on war where an explosion goes off near a soldier and they hear nothing else and there's the confusion, that's what happened to me in that moment. My world suddenly imploded. I heard nothing else. It was the kind of shock that twists the soul. Suddenly, for the first time in my life, I was engulfed in something I had not experienced up to that point. I experienced a moment of aloneness. Sometime in your life, probably as a child, you experienced an event or a tragedy that caused your safe, stable world to implode with a sudden burst of aloneness. The aloneness I'm referring to is the feeling that you've been abandoned in the universe. It's the sense that even in a crowd, you're cut off, misunderstood. It's that feeling that you're nothing more than a wisp of smoke, that an uncaring universe is just waiting to blow into non-existence. It is the most intense of emotions. It's why we put those in prison in solitary confinement as the strictest form of punishment, separated off. The 17th century French writer Jean de la Bruyère felt so strongly about this aloneness that he wrote, "All men's misfortunes spring from their hatred of being alone." For me, aloneness was never more real than during my teenage years when I would lay in my bed at night and stare at the ceiling and feel the vast nothingness of the universe and wonder, is there anybody there? Yet as my despair grew through those teenage years, so did my desire grow for a connection with something or someone that would just come and relieve that burden of aloneness. It'd be many years later when I would come upon a verse in the book of Ecclesiastes that answers this question. God has set eternity in our hearts. If that's true, if God has set eternity in the hearts of mankind, that may answer the question of why we long to connect with someone beyond ourselves. It may answer the question of why we long for meaning, or why our hearts want to connect with something infinitely bigger than ourselves, something bigger than our universe, something bigger than our reality. In one way or another, everyone in this room, everyone in this city, everyone in this world is seeking someone beyond this world to meet us here and now. This longing for connection with someone beyond ourselves, I find, leads to three primary reactions. I'm sure there are many others, but these are the three I see most prevalently. Number one, you can try to deny the existence of that longing. Whether aggressively or passively, some people live a life pretending the torment of universal aloneness is nothing but a biological mechanism for survival, not a longing for the supernatural. Jack Kerouac summed up this position perfectly when he wrote, "I am emptiness. I am not different from emptiness, neither is emptiness different from me. Indeed, emptiness is me. I'm gonna die because there was nothing else to do in the cold loneliness of this harsh, inhospitable earth." In that position, you must say, we were and always will be alone. Now, the second position is the one I find most people follow, and that is that they acknowledge the existence of that longing, but instead of seeking an answer for that longing, they try to fill it with temporal stuff. The question is too big. The quest is too demanding. And the placebos of the world are way too abundant. So we attempt to fill that aloneness with busy careers or the love of another person or an obsessive hobby or a mind-altering substance or an unhindered anger or a political cause, or a social cause, or maybe that perfect mate. But these things, in and of themselves, never fill the gnawing longing for fellowship with someone beyond this world. Number three, some people seek an answer to this aloneness dilemma. They've acknowledged it exists, they believe it's real, and so they look for an answer. C.S. Lewis, one of my heroes, wrote in his masterpiece, Mere Christianity, "Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger? Well, there is such a thing as food. And a duckling wants to swim? Well, there is such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire? Well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that doesn't prove the universe is a fraud. Probably, earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it. only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. I love Trinity Sunday. It's one of my favorite church moments on the church calendar. And I am far from understanding the doctrine of the Trinity. But in the mystery of the Trinity, there is a revealed truth about our existence in the universe that I hold on to dearly. And that is that loneliness on a universal scale is not an endemic state of being. The universe began with the love of a triune being who was love and longed and longs to give that love away. That is the true state of the universe. Today's gospel reading contains the most famous verse in the Bible, maybe the most well-known verse, John 3:16, which in and of itself, in the most concise terms, shows God's plan to bring the lost and alone in the universe into fellowship with the Creator, to take that aloneness away. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people, when you just read it, have interpreted eternal life as a place, as heaven. And that is not at all what Jesus was saying to the audience of his day, and they understood that. Eternal life was a state of being where one is connected to the Creator, the very one that longs for fellowship with us, the one who created us with that longing. It's a state where universal aloneness is eradicated through God's sacrifice, that where you have connected with the Creator and God's life animates you. That's the eternal life that Jesus was offering. That's what he was talking about. It's the good news that Jesus proclaimed. God is not far away. God is in your midst. God is here. It's the realization of God's voice whispering to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God has found his lost children and calls them back home. So let's go 12 years after that moment on Lake Michigan, and I'm sitting on a mountain with my father. I'm 21 years old. Both of at this point have come unto the knowledge of Jesus Christ. My dad puts his arm around me, and he starts talking about what his life was like during that time, and starts talking to me 12 years later about the struggles he went through. And then he turns to me and he says, I love you. I never meant to hurt you. And if you saw that day, if the camera was behind, you would see his big son curl up in his arms and just cry as his daddy held him. That thing I longed for, that connection, was back. In Romans, we read the scripture, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, that fear of aloneness, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is such an endearing word. It literally means Papa, Daddy. As you think today, and as you ponder, as you come forward for Eucharist, think about Daddy calling you home, that he longs to surround you with his arms, that he longs to love you. Think about the Spirit of God like a mother who is calling you home, and she longs to embrace you with love and reveal your place in the kingdom. And think about that son who died for you, who says, you're my brother, you're my sister, welcome home.